Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, it's time to Fast Forward. Welcome to the future of almost everything in Wisconsin on the upswing. Joining WTMJ's Jeff Sherman, here's Steve Glenn and Martin Moore.
Welcome to the Upswing Thursday edition. Fast Forward, the future of almost everything in Wisconsin. Specifically for today's show, let's tee it right up and get going. Food delivery, daily habits, film, transit, 414 day, and more. We're going to go right into the topics with our always special guests and our friends, Steve Glenn and Martin
friends.
Moore.
Yes.
Good morning.
Hey.
We are gentlemen.
We are friends, aren't we?
Yes.
I guess.
It is good. We're all friends in Milwaukee and Wisconsin. That's what community building is all about. Quickly, Steve Glenn, the Chief Milwaukee Officer at Experience Milwaukee and Text MKE, Marketing Director at MISO, Martin Moore, Content Creator, Podcaster, all things marketing, filmmaking at Koss Headphones. As we talk, if you want to chime in, the WTMJ talk and text line is 855-616-1620. First things, I need your take on a couple things here, gentlemen. McDonald's is doing billboards that smell like it's fries. And you want to talk about the future of advertising?
What?
This is it. So there's a Smells Like McDonald's film in the Netherlands that's being shared on YouTube right now. And people are noting they're walking past these billboards, no logos, just a single color. People couldn't look away, but they couldn't smell away either.
So billboards are, well, typically next to like freeways, right?
Well, some places they can be lower to the people.
I feel like you don't need a billboard to smell McDonald's in many metropolitan areas.
Yeah.
It works, though. I mean, boy, when you smell those fries or you're driving past a Culver's and you them butter burgers.
I'm in the drive-thru.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Boy, they got the bait out there and they really, it makes sense. I just feel like they already do that without the billboards.
Yeah.
Now they can do it everywhere.
That's a good point. Now they can do it in places that the company says they're strategically positioning them 200 meters within a McDonald's location so that, quote, any cravings the display may inspire could be easily satisfied.
I'm going to be curious how that goes with people who live near there, and now all of a sudden your yard every time you're outside, like playing ball with your kid, it smells like
cutting the lawn.
Well, I want to know the full technology behind it, too. How do you replicate that smell?
And does it give me cancer?
Yeah, I want to know the ingredients and what's going into it, right? Yes. So if Wisconsin companies are doing the same thing, what Wisconsin companies should take this idea?
Really?
Smell root beer everywhere?
Like that honey and sassafras smell? That could be good. What else, Steve?
I'm kind of leaning this morning toward Gloriosos.
Ooh.
Those scents over there are really
like
delicious.
The Italian beef scent?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
It's a delicious sandwich. Yeah.
That will work.
I got to go.
Did you guys watch take in the community building that was the eclipse?
I did.
Yeah, I watched people do it. I just stayed at my desk.
Okay. I really loved the aspect of it. It just kind of brought people together. It wasn't political. It wasn't sports. It wasn't a concert. It was just this thing that everyone had this sense of FOMO about, that everyone was doing, that you had to be a part of. And there's so few of those events in our world that it just kind of made me smile.
They're fun. It's nice. It's nice when people can just get together and focus on one ubiquitous thing that makes everybody smile and is interesting. And it was very cool. And then it was over.
All right. Well, I want to ask you about the future of those glasses that we were all wearing this week. We'll do that after the break. This is The Upswing, the Thursday edition with Martin Moore, Steve Glenn. It's the future of almost everything. You're listening to WTMJ.
Grand home shades of cheap sunglasses.
We all had the sunglasses earlier this week for the eclipse, but I want to know, what's the future of those eclipse sunglasses? Steve and Martin, are you hanging on to yours? Are you doing the proper thing? Because there are three things that you should do with those glasses, and I wanted to make sure that we were tackling the future of the eclipse sunglasses in the proper manner.
Someone who lives and breathes in sunglasses 24/7, I'll just wear them around. I'll take selfies with them.
I'll go to the library.
Take them on the airport. I'll wear them.
What are you supposed to do with them?
You're supposed to either save them, You know, if as long as they're the right safety standards and compliant.
For 75 years.
For the next one. Put them in a place that you know you're going to find them next time. So you don't have to wait in the long lines.
Future of heirlooms, right?
Yes. Or donate them. Astronomers Without Borders will take them. Many local schools will take them. Warby Parker locations. There's one in Madison. Mm. There's one in the historic Third Ward here. Yeah. Just bring them in. They will make sure they get in the right hands.
That's cool.
Or recycle. And if you're going to recycle, you take the cardboard eclipse glasses, you pop out the lenses, you dispose of those in the regular trash, and just drop the cardboard frames in wherever you put your recycling. There you go.
Simple.
1, 2, 3.
That's
the education around what we should
anything,
do.
Anything but like chuck them out the window of a moving car and let them sit on the street. Anything but that
is
better
everyone should wear them on Milwaukee Day. Everywhere
go. That's a good tease for the last segment. 414 Day is coming up this weekend. We're going to give you all the details about that and more. So during the eclipse or not, did you have any food delivered? And when was the last time you had food delivered?
Yesterday?
What's your preferred platform, Steve Glenn?
I just went through the Jimmy John's platform.
Ooh, okay.
But it turned my $8 sandwich into $16. Don't tell my wife.
The price of convenience.
Wow. So Vox had a story recently about the future of food delivery, and I wanted to kind of bring it from the national level down to the local state level for us. But Vox says no one is happy about the delivery apps, not the customers who feel gouged by the avalanche of fees, like you just said, Steve.
Yeah.
Not the restaurants who feel gut punched by the commission that the apps are taking from them. Certainly not the delivery workers who have long been rewarded with a pittance for doing a job that, like, especially in big cities, has higher injury rates than construction workers. So who's going to win, and what's the future of these delivery apps? Because food delivery, it's not ending. It's convenient, very much so. But what's going to give?
It's a $38 billion industry, food delivery, and growing. And so I don't know. I get mad, but I'm super happy that I didn't have to do anything and it just shows up at my door. I have really mixed emotions on this topic.
Yeah. So locally, DoorDash will do a first order with the delivery fee waived with a $15 order. But after that, it's 15% service fee that starts with a $3 minimum. Hmm. So those fees, they add up. They add up quickly.
Yeah, and tips if you're going to tip in there.
Yeah.
Like I said, it doubled my sandwich order, and it was just a sandwich.
It really comes down, in my opinion, to two things. How much extra business do businesses want, and how much are people willing to pay for convenience? If either of those things are true or some sort of like net positive for people, they're going to stick around. If businesses weren't making money or were losing customers, they'd simply just
That's a good point.
Opt out. And if it's too expensive for people, if $16 is too much for Jimmy John's, then you just won't buy it. So, I mean,
I think
businesses and people can complain all they want about the fees.
That's all that's happening right now. People are complaining, but they're still doing it.
Exactly. Yeah. And so,
and the future is they're going to keep doing it.
Yeah, they'll keep doing it.
Right. And the reality is a lot of people need these apps because they can't get out of the house or they don't have efficient transportation. So, like, they rely on the apps to get their food.
Here's another interesting thing that I've always found about food delivery. And this kind of circles back to the gig economy that we've talked to a couple episodes ago. This is a whole new job and industry that didn't exist 10 years ago. Just like being an Uber driver or being a YouTuber or a gaming streamer or a food delivery driver. This creates jobs for people that maybe want a part-time job or want to hustle, or maybe they retired and need something else to do, or maybe they don't have a high school or college degree and are struggling to get a job or whatever it is. It does create a job opportunity for people that didn't exist. And, you know, there's something nice about that.
And I know we're picking on food here, but when you think about delivery in general, have you had like a shopper at Target get your stuff and bring it over?
Oh, yeah.
We have.
Love that.
And that has higher fees, but as for some reason, people seem a little bit more tolerant.
Right, to do it.
Yeah. Any? Have you worked with any restaurants? Are they looking to kind of protect themselves? There is a Senate Bill 290, that goes into effect in July in Wisconsin, that under it, the delivery services will not be allowed to list a restaurant's name or address without consent. I know on a local level, there's some that are like, wow, you're putting me in this app, and we really have the capacity to make sure that these deliveries go out efficiently.
And the menus are often inaccurate.
Correct.
Yep.
And then they're going to be required to share information with the restaurant about the content of the orders and the time they're placed. Delivery drivers are going to be required to have knowledge of the basic food safety principles, including personal hygiene and avoiding cross-contamination. So there's some things on the governmental level that at least we're trying to put in place to make sure that, you know, the apps are efficient and they continue to provide us what we want.
Well, exactly. The other thing, too, with food delivery service is a lot of times the taste of food is predicated on, you know, how long ago it was prepared. And if you have a food delivery driver that picks up something that was made 30 minutes, 45 minutes ago, it might not taste the way that the restaurant intended. They could get bad reviews. There's a lot of consequences for some of the things that are out of the control of these business owners in these restaurants when the food leaves their front door and then it goes into the car of someone who could sneeze on it or take it to the wrong place or deliver the wrong thing, and that's going to come back
tacos.
Going to come back on the business. Yeah, eat one of your tacos.
Right.
Sip your Fanta.
Hey, why is the straw in there?
Well, we all have our daily habits, and we need our food, and we need it now. It's an on-demand economy. That's what we're talking about today on The Upswing, the future of almost everything. We'll be right back after this break.
Every day she takes a morning bath, she wets her hair, wraps a doll around her as she's heading for the bedroom chair. It's just another day.
Another day with our daily Thursday ritual with Steve Glenn and Martin Moore. This is the future of almost everything on The Upswing. I am fascinated by people who position and promote their daily habits. And I have a morning ritual that I stand by that I wanted to discuss with both of you. But I want to know, what is your morning routine? You get up in the morning, you must do what, and what does that day-to-day look like for you, Martin Moore?
Wake up at 5:30, hit the snooze till about 5:45. Then I get up at the gym by 6. Then out of the gym, like, around 6:40. We have a gym in our basement.
Okay, all right.
Then 6:45, shower. 7 o'clock, I make 2 over-medium eggs with fruit and sausage and water. I start doing emails, catch up on the news. Then by about 7:30, I play Starfield for about a half an hour, and then I work at 8. And it's like that every day. Back when I was vlogging, I used to, because time was such a commodity, for about 7 years or 8 years, I wore the exact same outfit every day from Kohl's, the exact same Nikes, gray jeans, black V-neck shirt every day, because it was one less thing that I had to do. I didn't have to go in my closet.
Very Steve Jobs.
Yeah, figure out what to wear. I was able to shave off like 10, 15 minutes of my morning routine, which I allocated to, you know, vlogging and stuff like that. Yeah. So I have a very strict morning routine.
And you incorporate that throughout the day then? Like,
oh, yeah.
Are you like,
your
schedule?
Yeah, my day is very locked in because it makes you efficient. You know, when you're, if you have a busy life, like, that time is something that you can't buy. It's a very precious commodity. And so wherever you can find those minutes is very, very valuable for staying sane.
Yeah. Steve?
I wish I had a more structured routine like that. I have to, I do have a routine, which is I have to find some thinking time in the morning. And the spot can be different, and depending on whether that's inside the house or outside the house, but there is one podcast episode I listen to almost every day, and I use that as part of my thinking time every morning.
Love it.
What is that podcast?
It's Gary Vaynerchuk.
I like it. Okay. Gary V. There's some good inspiration there.
As Martin was just talking about hustle stuff, he has an episode on abundance.
Okay.
And it just gets you thinking in the right mode. It gets me thinking in the right mode that day.
Yeah. Well, I need that consistency when I get up. It's about a couple different books that I read from that are just like inspirational verses and just to kind of get my mind right.
Mm-hmm.
I do my best to do a little thanks and gratitude. I have a notebook next to my desk or next to the bed that I write down things. I make the bed always.
Do you?
Always.
Same.
Yeah. Like,
me
I can't leave the house. I can't leave the house without my bed being
what?
Made. Like, it is a thing. Even if I'm running. Yeah.
We make the bed at hotel rooms. Like, when we stay in a hotel room, we make the bed.
Oh, really? So do I. Yep. Yes. Yeah.
I put the sign on the door so they don't make my bed ever while I'm at a hotel.
And then it's lemon water. So I juice a lemon. Heat it up a little bit, give half to my wife, half to myself, and it kind of gets the digestion going in the right way. Then the morning exercise routine is some squats, some kind of calf lifts, wall sits, and some barbell work, and then my push-ups. I do 40 to 50 push-ups every morning.
Oh, nice. Wow.
Yeah, so that's a little bit of my daily flex right there. But I've been doing it for 20-plus years, and I need it.
Yeah.
It just makes sure that my head is right, my body's right, and then you can, into the game.
What do you guys do then if there's an interruption?
I hate it. Like, there's nothing worse than, like, I wake up. I try to not pick up my phone when I wake up in the morning because it will just distract me from going to the gym or whatever it is that I have to do. Uh-huh. But what I can't stand is if I accidentally do pick it up or I get a notification and then I'm working out and I get distracted.
Yeah.
Because I have such bad OCD, it's all I think about. And, like, I just completely shut down.
Well, when you talk future of communication, when you check your emails or your texts first thing in the morning, personally, I don't sleep with the phone. There's no phone in my room.
Nice. Really?
I have an iPad that I read in, but I'm not getting up and checking my messages right away. I do when I get downstairs.
Yes.
But I don't do that.
That's the first thing I do.
But I know many do.
That's the first thing I do.
Yeah. Does that stress you out?
No. I'm more stressed wondering where did I miss overnight?
Okay.
And there's just such
messages or news or to-dos, all the above?
All messages, emails, direct, other platform messaging, everything is just, it's a flood.
Okay.
And so I feel good. I check it off the list, get my coffee, go sit down and think.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. So the show prep, we're going to move that earlier in the day then and not late night. So we're not texting each other all night long.
Well, you know,
like,
I don't prep.
Come on. Here's all the topics. Like, here's all the stories I have to read by tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want that happening. All right.
Fine.
I love it. Daily rituals. We all need them. We all need consistency in our lives. And we all need a little bit more gratitude and thanks in our life, too. So add that to yours. Welcome back to The Upswing, the future of almost everything Thursdays. It is Steve Glenn, and he is Martin Moore. I'm Jeff Sherman. The Milwaukee Film Festival begins today. I had Ann Reed on, the interim CEO. It was on the Monday edition of the show. She really played up the importance of the walkability of this year's film festival. The Downer Theater reopens on historic Downer Avenue now. It's been closed for months. It's really easy to walk between the Oriental Theater and the Downer Theater. It creates a really good sense of community for this film festival. And it's different than the big mega screens, right? Nothing against the big mega screens, but the film festivals kind of bring it down to the community level, right?
Yeah.
And really make it easier to highlight the art of storytelling. And one thing Anne said that's kind of stuck with me, that film festivals are about kids and bringing your kids to a theater experience that, you know, maybe is a little old school, but that is worthy of moving into the future.
The future.
The future of films and filmmaking. What are your general thoughts, Steve Glenn?
I am probably the worst movie watcher of all time.
Okay.
But my family is heavily into movies and we always have a movie on in the house. Everyone but me is regularly going to a theater. In fact, my wife and daughter and mother-in-law just went to see Gone with the Wind in a theater. And so I don't know. The film festival, I think, is an amazing thing for Milwaukee. I know a lot of the filmmakers who participate. It's a wonderful outlet for that creativity. I don't invest in movie time. I know this guy does.
Oh, yeah. I'm huge on movies and film. I love things like the Milwaukee Film Fest because every single large director or producer, whether it's Steven Spielberg or Bryce Dallas Howard or anybody, they all started somewhere, you know. And so those sorts of communities and events are vital for young filmmakers to learn what they did well when telling a story, what they didn't do well, and how they want to develop their career. Because here's the thing with movies is whether they're a documentary or it's something made up, there's so much technology that has stemmed from movies, whether it was Star Wars or Star Trek. There's so many phrases we use and words that we use that come from pop culture in films in general.
Absolutely.
And so they're a very important part of just, the human beings just interacting throughout the world. And movies are a lot like sports or the solar eclipse, where you can take the politics out of all of it and people can come together and enjoy one thing, like their favorite sports team or a film, and kind of rally around that. And it really brings people together in some really large communities. There's some franchises like Marvel and Star Wars and, I don't know, whatever else is out there that are just massive and have massive followings. And,
yes.
And it's saved people from depression, films have. It has for me. And so I think they're a very vital part of then, now, and the future.
Yeah, I like the aspect of 100% entertainment. If I'm going to watch a movie, I want it to kind of take my mind to another space and just to be entrenched with it, whether it's a Marvel movie or, and I want to talk about this after the break, a documentary. Because I think documentaries are something I like to plug into because I feel like I'm going to learn something,
correct,
but also be entertained.
Sure. Yes.
All right, we'll talk about documentaries and continue our discussion about the future of film. Steve Glenn, Martin Moore, this is The Upswing. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to The Upswing, the future of almost everything. Steve Glenn, Martin Moore, I am Jeff Sherman. Continuing our discussion on the future of film with the Milwaukee Film Festival beginning this week. Actually, today is the big opening ceremony and the first film. So, a little tease, tomorrow my guest will be Beth Ridley. And Beth is a career consultant, and her brother, John Ridley, a big filmmaker born out of Mequon, has the current docudrama, Shirley, on Netflix. What are your connections with documentaries? Is that something that
you
need in your life
to
help you continue to learn?
100%. One of my goals is to, by the end of my life, is make a documentary.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What's really? The topic?
Yeah.
The sex lives of the elderly. So, like, people in nursing homes, or maybe they had someone pass away. Because here's the thing.
It's more wild than you think.
We look at look at the elderly and our grandparents, and that's one of those things that you don't think about. But that's a massive, massive human experience and emotion, love and sex and all that. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things that you don't want to think about, but they're active in the community, and it's a very fascinating story. And so I've always kind of wanted to tell that story about what is that like and really humanize a group of our population that sometimes doesn't get the respect that they deserve.
Yeah. That was the last thing I thought you would say, just to be clear.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Hopefully no one steals my idea.
So that's right.
As much as I'm not in on movies, I'm all in on documentaries. Love them. I think there's just a trick in my mind that thinks it's all real, even though sometimes it can be more dramatized than others, and I'm in.
Are you okay with documentaries that are co-produced by the subject matter? So, like, Taylor Swift is an easy example.
Sure.
She's the executive producer for many of her outlets, right? Yeah. I mean, hey, here's my film. It's about her life. It's finally curated in her voice.
Totally.
Is that okay with you?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, same with, like, I believe that Paris Hilton one on YouTube that was really, really, really good. I mean, I take all that stuff with a grain of salt, and obviously we all look at ourselves through our own lens. But you can basically get the gist of a story, and if there's anything you're like, oh, that doesn't seem right, you can Google it. Google
exactly
the thing.
Right.
I mean, one of my favorite all-time documentaries is Neat, and it's all about bourbon, and it's clearly being, like, it's got to be at least encouraged by all the distilleries that care about people consuming more bourbon, but it was so done so well in how it educated you and inspired you want to have.
I need to watch that.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Well, and I think you look at the future of sports leagues, content creation is such a powerful component.
Yes,
and creating documentaries, whether it's the teams or the leagues, or partnering, like the NFL does with HBO on Hard Knocks, all it does is further humanize the players,
make
non-fans bigger fans, and ultimately probably gets me to a game.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what it's all about.
There's one thing sports fanatics can't get enough of. It's content from their favorite team. Yeah. There's no amount of video about the Packers or the Bucks that like I won't just sit down and like watch. I'll consume everything that's thrown at me.
Right. I'm that way for companies.
Okay.
Like some of the most like storied companies, I want all the inside.
Sure.
How did it happen? Where it was built? All that.
All right. We're going to have to find the right Wisconsin-based company to do our next documentary project together.
Yes.
On.
Martin's got an idea.
All right. Yeah. Let's go. Let's do it. So Sunday at the Milwaukee Film Festival, you can get the full schedules online, but there is a documentary called The Hurricanes, mm-hmm. and it tells the all-too-unknown story of the Houston Hurricanes, a team in the first women's full tackle football league that was founded in the 1970s. And I knew nothing about this, so like, looking through the sports section of the film festival, I was totally intrigued. I'm like, all right, this is something that's fascinating.
Absolutely.
I didn't know that there was a women's 1970s-based tackle football league.
I think there's a tackle football league here in Milwaukee.
Hmm.
Or a team.
Okay.
Yeah, women's.
I love all those really small stories. This is why I like documentaries or even like films that are loosely based off of something like that. Is these little stories that you otherwise would never hear about. Like that one, what was that one about? I believe it was the six women who helped with like the moon, going to the moon and all that.
Yes.
I can't remember
that
what the
movie?
Name. Yeah, I can't remember what the movie
Hidden
was called.
Hidden Figures.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's just little stories that you didn't care about or didn't know about or even know that, or Killers of the Flower Moon. There's another good one. If you've got 4 hours to invest, just really interesting, fascinating stories that actually mean something in our day-to-day lives that you would never think about wanting to know about. That's why I like documentaries.
Or you wonder why the story has never been told.
Right. Right.
Yes, indeed. Well, there are riches in those niches, and there are stories that we need to be told because it's going to educate and enlighten us in some way, shape, or form. And that's what the Milwaukee Film Festival does. When we come back, we'll wrap up our conversation with Steve Glenn and Martin Moore. We're going to discuss the opening of the L Line and 414 Day, which is Sunday. I know Steve and Martin have big insights as to what's happening, the future of 414 Day. Coming up next, this is The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Welcome back. This is The Upswing, and I am WTMJ's Jeff Sherman. I want to give away a gift card to the Mineshaft Restaurant in either Hartford or Oshkosh. The Sherman family, we live in the North Shore of Milwaukee, but the Mineshaft in Hartford, it's an easy drive for us. I don't know, 35, 40 minutes, and it's a staple when we need to get away from the Xbox and the PlayStation and get into the huge game room like the $2 million game room at the Mineshaft. Great pizza too, and mom and dad are really good with hanging out. We can hang out at the bar, sit at the table while the kids check out the game room. Let's do caller number 8-855-616-1620 gets a gift card to the historic Mineshaft. And a friendly reminder that Thursdays, that's today, feature buy one get one free pizza. So the future of city celebrations integrated today with the opening of the L Line, the Milwaukee Streetcar, the Hop. Now you can get all the way from the intermodal station on St. Paul. If you're coming from Chicago, you take the Hiawatha, you jump off, you hop off at the intermodal station, and you can get on the streetcar and be at Milwaukee's lakefront. And that's a pretty cool thing.
That's cool. You can get around all the Milwaukee Day events that are happening.
Exactly. And you two are both pretty involved in the 414 Milwaukee Day event.
Yep.
You know, Milwaukee celebrates its city in a big way. You know,
huge way.
Bayfield has an apple festival. Warren's has a cranberry festival. But in Milwaukee, we celebrate an entire area code on 414 Day. And it's pretty cool.
On Milwaukee Day, everyone's from Milwaukee, and it's a great, there are so many celebrations, there are more celebrations happening this year, I think, than I've ever seen, including ours on Sunday at New Barons and Twisted Path, with music, food trucks, giveaways, including a TV, a special piece of art unveiled at the 414 Toast.
Ooh, nice. Local artist, I'm guessing.
Local artist. All right. But I say all that because every place I see is doing something like that, right? $4.14 deals, 4:14 p.m. there's going to be a special something, live local music. There's so much happening to celebrate on this Sunday. It's going to be 70 degrees.
Yeah, I just love it because it's a celebration of just the businesses, the culture, the art, the music, everything that embodies this city and makes it great. I love it. And there's not a lot of cities that do that really embrace their, not the area code, but just their city in general like that, the way that we do.
Or even their city's birthday.
Yeah, right.
You know, I talk to people from across the country and they're like, what the heck is 414 day? I'm like, what? You don't know? Sorry.
And in front of City Hall, I think at 10 a.m., the 414 banner, I think for the fifth straight year, the 414 flag is going to kind of come down across City Hall. Bubbler bikes are free all day.
Ooh.
Milwaukee Downtown is going to be handing out free tote bags and notebooks. Fuel Love Cafe it. And Bel Air have complimentary breakfast burritos at this event, 10 a.m. at City Hall on Sunday. I think there's a boxing champion. Her name is Violet Lopez. She'll be at that event. Harmonic Harvest. You can see them on the side of one of the streetcars right now. They have a new program called Renaissance Threads that are inspired by personal stories from Milwaukeeans who are using recycled materials and fabrics in the fashion industry to create clothes. Mm-hmm. So, like, everyone is plugging in on this day.
Love it.
Koss has
headphones. We are going to be releasing, again, in a limited quantity, the Milwaukee Home Koss headphones. You can find those.
We're giving them away at our event.
Yeah, you are. Milwaukee's going to be giving some away as well.
Nice.
And so they're super cool. They're, like, the headphones in like the Milwaukee flag colorway, and it's pretty dope. So
On Milwaukee actually did a nice write up of all the things happening on Milwaukee Day if you need it. So go ahead there and check it out.
Fill your calendar up.
Bounce around the city. Get on the hop. Do some things.
Exactly.
Do all the things.
And a friendly reminder, it's not just Milwaukee. It is 414. We are greater Milwaukee. Sure, downtown Milwaukee is the heart of the state of Wisconsin, but 414 day, it's for everyone across this great state of Wisconsin.
All the communities.
Mm-hmm. So let's plug in and let's celebrate. We'll do it again next Thursday with Steve Glenn and Martin Moore. This is The Upswing, the future of almost everything. We'll be back tomorrow.